the Observing Infinite Life Sutra discuss about three types of virtues or three requirements in cultivation. The second virtue is to receive and to maintain the refuge and to obtain and preserve all precepts and not violating any one of them in daily behavior. So not just receive, taking the ceremony, but also maintain at any time, at any place, the essence of the Triple Gems, which is enlightenment, proper viewpoint, and purity of the mind. These three things are the standard of cultivation. And to approach to the standard, the methods are numerous. We also know there are many schools and many methods. They are pretty much categorized into three aspects. As long as you can actually enter through one main gate, one of the three main gates, the final result is the same. For Pure Land students who practice Buddha name chanting, it is to enter the ultimate self nature through the door of purity, because the Pure Land school students is seeking for, or at least the goal is to be able to reach a single state without confusion or scattering. And that is an evidence that the Pure Land school student practice and enter into the self nature through the gate of purity. The second item of the second item of the second virtue talks about possess numerous precepts. And the last item of the second virtue talks about be able to maintain a proper behavior and manners. Be able to possess all numerous types of precepts. The precepts are many, have many types, many kinds. But the most important or the essence are the fundamental five precepts. The next one, or the third item of the second virtue, talks about not violating the proper manners in behavior. And for that one, we take a look at the Bichu 250 precepts. It contains the first four most serious and ultimately important precepts, plus 13 important precepts, and the rest precepts deal with proper manners, rules, and regulations about behavior. So, to practice Buddha Dharma, take refuge and understand its meaning, observe or follow the precepts, particularly the fundamental ones, are most important. My teacher used to explain to me, like traveling from northern part of Taiwan, capital city called Taipei, to the center of Taiwan, city called Taichung, we take railroad train. You must keep your ticket from the beginning stop to the last destination. In our spiritual development, similar to this situation, we must not forget the three refuge and the five fundamental precepts. the five basic the five basic precepts, which are no killing, no stealing, no committing sexual misconduct, no lying, number four, and the last one, no drinking of intoxicants things to lose sober mind. This first four, no killing, no stealing, and no lying, and no committing sexual misconduct, are universal. Whether you take this precept or not, if you break them, you just naturally have the natural scene. You create a scene automatically. The last one, not taking intoxicants such as liquid. When you violate this one, only when you take this precept, and then you drink wine or liquor, then you violate this one. But if you don't take that one, drinking liquors, you don't create a scene, because it is precautionary. It is not a fundamental violation of the universal law of karma. So we need to understand the meaning of the precepts and the purpose of all the fundamental precepts. And there are reasons behind this. What time you can follow the precepts without violation? What time you can do things opposite to the precept tells you and still follow the spirit, the meaning of the precept, without a violation? So we need to study the precepts, its purpose, and its true meaning or spirit behind it. Without this proper understanding, a lot of people may feel Buddhism, their philosophy and sutra are beautiful, but precepts seems too much. It's too troublesome. I think I just want to be exposed to the sutra and not the precepts observation. This is because of an improper understanding. Because the precepts is Buddha's behavior and manners. It is just like the or the proper manners of Confucianism, of Confucius. Without the precept, there will be no Buddha. Without the proper manner, there will be no Confucianism. Buddha's teaching are so vivid, so lively, and so flexible. And the purpose is to benefit the sentient beings. It is not creating a bondage to give sentient beings inconveniences. So we must first understand the motivation of Buddha in helping all sentient beings. There are many teachers nowadays who can teach sutras, Buddha's teachings, but there are almost none who provide teachings on precepts. Because when discuss precepts, item by item, and the consequence of violating each individual precept, oftentimes end up in hell. Then people become scared and they do not like to hear this. And perhaps because there will be no audience, so there are no teacher willing to spend time and teach precepts. But we know the motivation of a Buddha is to benefit sentient beings. We know precept is essential and most important to Buddha Dharma. So we need to see why the precept is necessary and why precepts really do not create bondage or inconveniences to your daily life. I'd like to share with you a personal experience about precept observation. When my teacher, when he was alive, most venerable Mr. Li, being nun, he lived in Taichung, Taiwan, the center part of Taiwan Island. He followed the precepts very rigorously, only one meal a day before noontime. No breakfast, no supper. I follow the similar precept, but I do take breakfast and lunch before noon, no suppers. But one day, disciple invite him, my teacher, Mr. Li, the most venerable one, for supper. He invited me to go along with him. I feel very uncomfortable because I follow the precept of no eating supper. Now my teacher wants me to go along with him. The teacher then told me, the attitude you are taking of not joining other people's happiness by accepting their offering is the attitude of Theravada Buddhists. To be a Mahayana Buddhist or Bodhisattva, you need to make sentient beings happy. Therefore, from that point of view or for that reason, you accept their food offering and you take supper, which is not violating of the precepts, but to create a happiness of the person who like to offer you. On the other hand, if you do follow your precepts, then you have created an image or impression that the Buddhists are unreasonable, they're hard to deal with. And once you become a Buddhist, sincerely, you take precepts, then your life totally different than average people. Then they perhaps going to say bad words behind you, and they definitely do not want to become a Buddhist. Therefore, come with me to accept the food offering. Therefore, we know the precepts are very flexible. Follow the spirits. Sometimes you eat supper. When there's no situation that you need to eat supper, then follow the original precept literally. However, if you do like to enjoy supper and you pass the word around and suggest your friends, disciple, please invite me for supper, then you are violating the precept because you create opportunity for yourself to eat supper. So if people do not know you follow this precept, they invite you and you come, and then they realize you almost break the precept for the sake of making them happy. They will be very touched, and they think Buddhists are very flexible, very compassionate. So we need to know the meaning of the precepts, and when it's truly violating the precept, when it is not a violation. During the war during the invasion of Japanese against China in about the 1940s, there are three persons escaped from Japanese persecution. They were saved by an old monk. When the war was over, these three persons are grateful to the monk who saved their lives. So they invite the monk for a banquet, and they have prepared the best food, chicken, beef, and all kinds. And then the monk came. Then they realized monks are vegetarians, but we already prepared the banquet of all kinds of chickens and meat. Surprisingly, the monk just ate all things that was prepared for him without any complaints. This make these three persons very touched. On the other hand, if the monk came and shows ugly face or something, then these three persons not going to have any good impression about the Buddha Dharma. So Buddhism is very flexible. There's a common statement saying, compassion is the essence. Experience or skillful means are just the gates in order to accommodate people or welcome people. And also in Sutra, there's another statement said, Bodhisattvas are those who want to make all sentient beings happy. And this is the spirit of practicing Bodhisattva methods, which may look drastically different from the Theravada Buddhism's precepts and practices. To seriously observe precepts actually covers one should obey the law made by the country and made by all nations. If you went to all nations, and all evens need to satisfy local standard about morals. If you came to China, if you come to China, then you need to observe the local law of China. If you visit the United States, you need to follow the law of the United States. So the precepts means regulations in daily life. In today's world, traffic and transportation are so convenient. So we need to do in room as the Romans do. And then you can be considered truly practice the observation of truly observe the precepts. The original precepts are made by Buddha in ancient India. Today, if you follow the words of the precepts, it may not be suitable. For example, for the monk's precepts, they are about over 10 items dealing with how to dress the robe. But the clothes of ancient people, particularly of India, is different from today and the Chinese people. Then if you just follow the precept to the word, then it becomes inconvenient or sometimes improper. However, we need to know the reason and the spirit behind each and individual precept. What is the basic, what is the spirit and the reason behind the precept? It can be boiled down to two statements. To avoid all evils and to observe and practice all good deeds. To avoid all evils is the self-regulation of Theravada Buddhism. That we should always follow, no matter that we are with other people or alone by ourselves. We always follow that. But when dealing with sentient beings, then we need to do all good deeds, which is the spirit of the basic reasoning for Mahayana Buddhism. Now, what is good, what is evil? Then that pretty much decided by the precepts. Those in agreement with the spirit of the precept is good. Those violate the spirit of the precept is evil or violation. And due to the differences of Chinese people's mentality versus Indian mentality, the culture and traditions are also different. Therefore, there is a Zen master called Bai Zhang. He has set up, or you may say, modified the precepts and made new rules and regulations, and yet still follow the spirit of the precept. Follow the principle, but may change the item, which may be different than the original precept. So, the true Buddha Dhamma, and particularly the essence of Buddha Dhamma, the precepts, need to be modernized, need to be localized, and not lose the universal spirit that was originally made by Buddha. To follow the precepts and follow the rules and regulations, therefore the mind will be in peace and do not have guilty feeling. On the other hand, if we violate the precepts and do not follow rules and regulations, even though you may be able to escape from punishment, but your mind will not be at peace. When mind is not at peace, then one cannot practice meditation, and therefore one cannot enter into samadhi. That's why we always say the practice procedures are observing the precepts, enter into samadhi, and generate wisdom or prajna. The second virtue we mentioned deals with the practicing content of the Mahayana or the Theravada Buddhism. And then we're going to talk about the third virtue, the content of the third virtue associated with the Mahayana Buddhist practice. And the Mahayana Buddhism has to be established upon or based upon the Theravada Buddhism's content. And the first statement in the third virtue stated, one need to arouse or generate bodhicitta mind. We always heard people say, please generate the bodhicitta mind and do this and do that. But not many people truly understand what is a bodhicitta mind. Bodhi means real and fully realized. That is the bodhi mind. Realize what? Realize for human beings, there are 8 types of sufferings. If I'm going to discuss the details, we are not going to have time. It takes more than 2 hours. So we can basically say the 3 types of sufferings are all possessed, contained in the human realm, which is suffering. Second one is deteriorating suffering, the suffering due to deterioration. The third one is suffering due to non-stop or constant change. So it can boil down to 3 types of suffering. For the realm of form, which is in heavenly level, very high, they do not have suffering. They do, however, still have suffering of deterioration and suffering of constant change. They do not have suffering is because they are in a highly spiritual level. So they have already overcome the 5 types of desire, which is fame, food, wealth, sex, fame, food, and sleep. And therefore, they do not have the major suffering. But they still have 2 other types of suffering, which is the deteriorating suffering and constant changing suffering. Then comes to the highest heavenly being in the form, in the realm of formlessness. In this realm, these sentient beings appear in the form of conscious mind, no body. Without the body, there will be no deterioration. Therefore, the suffering is gone, and the deterioration suffering is also gone. But they still have constant changing suffering, which means they want to enjoy peace, but that peace cannot be forever. It still eventually changed out. They cannot stop the suffering, the constant changing, and eventually going to return to the suffering. So they are still suffering. If one realizes, no matter how high in this heavenly level, still you are not totally away from suffering. With this realization, and you generate strong determination to away from suffering and to be in peace forever. That is the beginning of bodhicitta mind. And of course, bodhicitta mind has other content in saving others. We're going to discuss later. The arahant and single and another Buddhist are a great enlightened being called a solitary enlightened being. Those 2 sage or holy people, they do not have the 2 bodhicitta mind. Bodhisattva do have bodhicitta mind. They want to save themselves. They want to save all relatives and friends, even enemies. They want to save all beings with a mind of equanimity without discrimination. The Theravada Buddhists, now the tradition of Theravada Buddhism is to, and particularly those who reach the sagehood, they do save beings, only those they think they are karmically connected to them or they like them. But they will not volunteer to come out and save others, as the Bodhisattvas of the Mahayana Buddhism would do. Therefore, oftentimes it's said that Bodhisattvas are the sentient beings' friends without invitation, because they volunteer to come out and help others. The three great vows in Buddhism, which are, sentient beings are numerous, I vow to save them all. Dharma gates or Dharma methods are numerous. Oh no, the second one, the first one is the vexations are infinite and numerous. For sentient beings are numerous, I vow to save them all. The second great vows, four great vows is, vexations are numerous, I vow to cut them all. The third great vow is, Dharma gates and approaches are infinite, I vow to master them all. And the last one is, Supreme Buddhahood, I vow to attain it. That's the four great vows of Mahayana Buddhism, as a goal for all Bodhisattva to achieve. As actually, to save all sentient beings without any discrimination, without any condition. The other three great vows are only to support, to accomplish this one. Because if one truly wants to save all sentient beings effectively, one, we are bound to cut off one's vexations. And then one cut off one's vexations with the motivation of, in order to qualify oneself to save others. And not just cut off vexations to get out of samsara. And that compassion in self-cultivation, in saving others, are merely the result of great true compassion. That is the true Bodhisattva mind. However, nowadays, the many Buddhists who only want the third and the fourth great vows, which is, Dharma gates are numerous. They vow to master them all. So they learn all kinds of Dharma teachings and methods. Supreme Buddhahood are supreme and unsurpassing. And they too want to obtain the Buddhahood. But it's like building a structure, a building, without the first and the second floor. You only want the third and the fourth floor. That is just impossible to attain there. And that's why so many Buddhist practice also knows a lot about the Buddhism's teachings and methods, but very few truly obtain the achievement. I'd like to point out my personal experience and share with you when I decide to follow my teacher, Mr. and Venerable Liping Nan. He gave me three requirements or three conditions that I must accept for 5 years. Number one, I must only listen to him and follow his instructions and not follow anybody else's instructions. Number two, without his personal concurrence, I must not even look at other Buddhism books. Number three, everything I have learned so far are considered invalid and has to be forget and threw out of my mind. When I first heard these conditions, I was thinking, this is too strict. Oh, sounds like my teacher is a dictator. Then I just think about it. I said, okay, let me try. So I said, I will accept your requirement. For 5 years, I'll do what you told me and only what you told me. Then I realized in the practice during these 5 years, I realized the less I listen to other people, the less books I read of different teaching, the less vexation and confusion I have. And the more I can cut off, the more I can not listening, I don't listen to other people or reading other books, the more vexation got cut off. And also realize if I completely cut off, completely not listen to other people's teaching and reading other books, then I completely cut off vexations and confusion. Then I realize the requirement of my teacher. First one, listen only to the teacher for 5 years. It is to block my ear so I won't be confused by the noise or confused teaching from other people. Do not read any books without the concurrence of the teacher. It is to block my eyes without being hurting and confused by other books and teachings. And therefore, in that 5 years, actually the first half year is passed, I feel big difference, tremendous benefits, and vexations cut off drastically already. So at the end of 5 year, I volunteered myself to the teacher. I like to extend this condition, adherence of this condition to another 5 years. So I followed the teacher, accepted his requirements and condition for a total of 10 years. And after that, my teacher told me, I can go ahead and learn from all the other teachers. I can go ahead and read all books, even evil books. And you can only benefit at that time. No matter what kind of person tell you, no matter what kind of books you read, no matter how wrong they are, you benefit yourself because you know what is right. From that point on, you get more experience. It is like the children. You got to watch the kids very closely. It's not dictatorship of the parents. It is the great love to protect them from being contaminated from the environments. And that is great.